Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling. Happy to be with you this week to discuss a topic that's interesting when you consider the opportunities to invest in multifamily, everything from small properties to mid-sized properties to large properties. This week, we're going to talk about team at scale. Whether you're doing a couple of duplexes or a 40-plex, how you staff that is really challenging. When you get to around 100 units, you can begin to have an on-site team. And we like to extend that up through maybe 300, even 400 units. What does a team look like when you can operate at that scale? That's what we're going to talk about this week. As always, thanks for joining us, and you can email me with any questions that you happen to have. That's pat@marapoling.com. I also encourage you to swing by the Learning Center at marapoling.com to check out all the great content that we have for you there, including there is still time to register for next week's webinar on multifamily financials. That's going to be Wednesday, September 8th, 11 a.m. out west, 2 p.m. in the east. Again, go to the Learning Center at marapoling.com, marapoling.com, and you can find more information and register there. If you know right now that you can't attend live, please register anyway. You'll get a copy of the recording. You'll get the advanced materials in advance. And you'll have access to that recording earlier than the rest of the folks will that simply go to the Learning Center later on. So Wednesday, September 8th, go to the Learning Center and register now. Okay, thank you. Now, let's talk about the team at scale. So we think there's a sweet spot. Just like there's a Goldilocks class, Class B, we think there's a Goldilocks size, at least for sponsors, syndicators, investors like us, whatever word you want to use. 100 units is kind of the low end. Anything below 100, it becomes really hard to have a team, just from an economic standpoint, let alone the skill sets. It becomes very expensive on a per unit basis if you get to 90 units or 80 units or, my gosh, all the way down to 50. And those of you that own those size properties know of what I speak. As you get larger, 150 units, 200 units, you can start having a larger team. 250, 300 units. We've had properties as large as 400 units. And there are wonderful opportunities as you get to that scale, that size. Now, we don't go fishing above 400, primarily because the economics begin to change. The investment community that's interested in large assets, 700 units, 1,000 units, multiple thousands of units in portfolios, they're a different kind of investor. They have different criteria than we do, and we don't compete the same way they do. So we simply stay out of that space. Lots of opportunities in the 100 to 400, 100 to 300 unit space. So let's talk about having a team at scale. And again, I'm talking about the on-site team. Our normal team that we use to operate properties, our asset managers, the regional property management folks, our accounting staff, all of those resources, scale as we add more and more properties to our portfolio. We're talking about the actual on-site staff that would be dedicated to an individual property. So let's go through and talk about them and address which ones you might see if you start having some scale, some size, and which ones you're going to have at the property regardless of the size of the property. So first, we're going to start with the person that is often called the property manager. So this is the individual that sits in the office and that generally oversees most of what goes on at the property. The maintenance supervisor or lead maintenance technician is an individual that may report to this person. They may be a peer to this individual. Generally speaking, this is the person, though, that when you say, I'd like to meet the property manager. That's who you're going to go in and sit down with. In a smaller property on that 100 unit end of the spectrum, that's the entire internal staff. That's everybody that works in the office is the property manager. So they're going to wear all these other hats. As you get more scale, you can take that job and break it down into smaller pieces, which does two things. And this is true for all the positions I'm going to talk about. It not only allows us to get more efficient. In other words, instead of paying property manager wages for work that could be done by a less expensive employee, for example, an assistant or a leasing agent, I can pay that more appropriate amount and I get some cost effectiveness, some savings. I also get someone who's laser focused on that job. They're not juggling as many balls, right? They have one thing that they do. The property manager in a small property is doing everything. They're doing accounting work. They're accepting packages that come in the front door. They're talking to tenants. They're talking to new prospective tenants. They're doing tours. They're talking to the bookkeeping department about an invoice that wasn't booked correctly and all the other stuff that goes on. So property managers in small properties are very busy people. But as you get larger, you can add a leasing agent. That's typically the first position that would get added. Now, a leasing agent is someone who, like the term says, is focused solely on leasing. So this is someone that's answering the phones, talking to prospective tenants, sending out emails, following up on all the digital leads that come from all the tools that we use today to market our product. They're doing tours. They're processing applications. They're assisting tenants with their move-in dates and coordinating. They're also most likely the person that's going to be working with renewals and expirations and notices to vacate. They're doing a lot of that kind of activity. And they can be solely focused on that because they're not trying to figure out, well, did the flooring invoice get paid last week that was supposed to? That's what the property manager is going to take care of, right? As well as the overall performance of the asset. They're focused simply on, I want to get good quality tenants qualified and into those units. If you have a slightly larger property, there might be an assistant to this individual. And this assistant might do some of the items that I just described, like answering the phone and processing some of the digital leads that are generated in terms of following up with those folks. They may also provide some support to the property manager and the maintenance staff. So they're not just an assistant in terms of leasing activity, they're an assistant really to the entire property and kind of a Jack or Jill of all trades in terms of whatever needs to be done, that person's going to do. And at larger and larger properties, you can have multiples of these people. You could have a property manager. You could have an assistant property manager. You could have multiple leasing agents. You could have a couple of assistants. It's really simply a function of the size of the property. The more resource you have, the more specialized they can be, and the more coverage you have. So if you only have a property manager, you pretty much are only going to be open to the public 5 days a week. If you have a larger staff, you can have weekend hours. You can be open every day during the week. You could be open earlier and stay open later if that's something that made sense in your particular market. So a lot of value, and you're ultimately going to be paying less per unit for these resources. So while the resources themselves have wages associated with them, right? And again, the property manager is probably going to be on the more expensive end and the assistant on the less expensive end. Because we are adding these folks incrementally, we're able to spread those costs over more and more units, which takes our cost per unit and lowers it. So you go from whatever the number might be. If you're at a property that's $1,300 a door for salaries and wages and benefits, as it gets larger, it can become 1,200 and 1,100 and 1,000 and even under 1,000 in some instances. Now, obviously, that's going to vary, those numbers I just used. It's going to vary by geography, right? So if you're in a smaller market or a market that has just overall more modest wages, then maybe those numbers are going to be even lower. If you're in a high wage market, a coastal market, a very large metropolitan area, then you may see numbers that are north of that. You'll also see rents that are commensurately higher, right, which is part of the offset. So that's what you would call the inside team. Those are the folks that sit in the office. Although they're not always in the office, they might be doing tours and other things, as I said. So let's talk about the outside team or the maintenance staff. So a maintenance supervisor or a lead maintenance tech, again, if it's a smaller property, that 100-unit property, that's the person, right? That's the counterpart to the one property manager that sits inside. And this lead maintenance person or maintenance supervisor does everything. They do repairs and maintenance. They work on the trouble tickets from tenants. They're going to get involved in turning units. So when a tenant moves out and the unit needs to be prepped for the next tenant to move in, they'll even do some capital improvement work. They're going to be a very, very busy person. This position often is supported by contract labor in a small property. So you'll have a contractor that does HVAC, another contractor that does plumbing. You might even contract out some of the improvement work, like flooring and painting and appliances and so on. Even though some of that work is work that could be done in-house, there's just not enough resource to do it. As the property gets larger, you begin to add additional staff. One of the first people that's great to add, if you can get to that scale, is an HVAC technician. HVAC units are one of the large contributors to trouble reports coming from tenants, especially if you're in a hotter climate, right? So in certain parts of the country, it might not be as large of an issue. But if you're in a warm climate, and as many of you know, we have a lot of our properties in Texas, you need air conditioners. And if air conditioners are on the fritz, that's an issue, right? They can be very expensive to maintain. And if you're calling out a contractor to do it, not only is it expensive, but it takes time. So if you can have an HVAC tech on staff, not only will it be faster, it will cost less, and because that tech hopefully can do maintenance, not just repairs, then we'll have actual less repairs that we have to do. So that's one of the first people that we like to add is an HVAC tech. Another would be a pure maintenance tech. Now, a maintenance tech isn't going to be HVAC certified. They might be working on it, essentially, a journeyman or apprenticing in that situation. But this is the person that's going to go and deal with kind of the routine stuff. They're going to go and fix a leaky faucet. They're going to go and deal with a toilet that keeps running. They're going to address sort of modest issues that tenants have that can be very nagging and that are time-consuming. This person's going to cost a little less than an HVAC certified technician, but they're going to free up time for that HVAC person to focus just on HVAC work, or primarily. They'll do some other work if their schedule permits, but that's going to be their primary focus. Another person that might be added to the team is someone to do turns. So turns, again, are when a tenant provides a notice to vacate, and then they move out, and we've leased the unit to a new tenant, and they're going to move in a week later. Then in that week, we've got to get that unit ready. We've got to go in, and the unit needs to be cleaned. It may need to be painted. Carpets, if they're there, may need to be not just inspected, but cleaned. It's possible some of those things might need to be replaced or repaired. and all of that work needs to get done, as much of that as we could do in-house allows us to be very quick about how we do that and also allows us to be more cost-effective. So having a technician that's focused solely on turns can be very efficient. Now, where that could be a bit of a challenge is if all of your expirations are end of the month and everybody moves out at the end of the month, and so suddenly you have a whole bunch of stuff that needs to get done, you may have a turn technician, but what happens is everybody on the team kind of becomes a turn tech for a very brief period of time so you can get all those units ready and get them back on the market. Another tech that could be added to the maintenance team would be one that does capital work. So we like doing value-add projects, and this would be everything from painting cabinets and resurfacing countertops to installing new flooring, new appliances, painting the interior with a two-tone higher-end paint scheme, maybe accent walls, doing a bathroom renovation. Some of that work, we need to call in a contractor, outside professionals. They'll do a better job. It's very cost effective to have them do it, and we'll be able to get it done promptly. But a lot of that work we can do ourselves. We don't need a third-party contractor to install appliances. We can do that work ourselves. Much of the other work I described, plumbing work, lighting, painting, can be done in-house and can be done cost effectively. And that individual that's doing that capital work, their time could be charged off to those capital projects, which, again, could be a more efficient use of our hard-earned dollars in terms of where they go. So we might have, at a large property, a maintenance supervisor, a lead maintenance person, an HVAC tech, a maintenance tech, someone that's focused on turns, and maybe some folks that are doing capital work, and there could be multiples of those positions. So as you can see, at larger and larger properties, you can have a sizable team that's there. As they get larger, the dollar amount that we pay for all of those folks, the salaries and wages line, gets bigger, but it gets smaller on a per unit basis. And the level of efficiency we can get by having people that are focused on specific tasks and by paying the wage for what the skill set is that's required to do that task, that can make us significantly more efficient. And it's a win-win-win. It's a win for tenants because we can be more responsive to their needs, both in terms of leasing and maintenance. It's a win for investors because we can be more efficient and therefore more profitable. It's a win for these individuals because we're able to create some high quality jobs with a great deal of stability. Again, we like that Class B space. These jobs aren't going away, right? They're good jobs to be had. Now, there are other people involved, obviously, and as your team gets larger, there may be more supervision involved, right? In terms of an overall manager that manages this and some other properties. Obviously, as more and more assets and larger assets are added to our portfolio, our team grows. But those are more senior leadership and overhead positions, back office positions. These are really the feet on the ground, right? These are the frontline team members that are taking care of tenants on a day-to-day basis. We are so grateful for the ones that are on our team. We love them all. They do a fantastic job for our folks. And we work diligently to take good care of them because they take good care of our tenants, and that's good for all of us. So one of the benefits of scale is being able to have a great team, a team that's really focused. There's a lot of other benefits to scale from an efficiency standpoint, as well as some benefits from an investment side. And we can talk about those on another day. But today we wanted to focus on team. If you want to understand more about where this might fit into understanding multifamily financials, then go to the Learning Center at marapoling.com, click on webinars, and you'll be able to register for multifamily financials Wednesday, September 8th, again, 11 a.m. out west, 2 p.m. in the east. If you are unable to attend, please register anyway, because we'll make sure that you get all of the great content that we're going to share with everyone. If you are registered and you have a question you want to make sure that we answer, whether you're going to be there live or not, shoot me an email, pat@marapolling.com. We'll make sure that we include your question either in the content normally as we go through the session, or we'll just add it to the Q&A that we'll do at the end. I hope you enjoyed this week's session. If you have any questions, shoot me an email, pat@marapolling.com. Have yourself a great week, and please join me next time for another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Polling.